This is Digital Story Podcast number 620, January 30th, 2018. Today's theme is Camera or Computer. I'm Derek Story. Digital photography is this murky mix of technology and art. We see a picture, press the shutter, and record it. Then what? Unless we're using a smartphone, something else needs to happen. And that something else is firing up a computer to complete our image. Since it's a noteworthy part of the process, why do we treat it like tires on a car? I explore that in today's TDS podcast. If I were to give you $1,000 right now and say that you could spend it either on a new camera or a new computer, which are you likely to choose? My informal research has led me to the belief that you would choose either a camera or a lens, and not the computer. So why is this? Why would we always pick, or most of us, most of the time, would pick a camera or a lens over our friendly little glowing screen that sits before us? Well, I have five theories why, when it comes to camera or computer, we choose camera. Theory number one, computers suck. And I'm serious. I am serious about theory number one. Think about it. Other than the person that you sleep with, when's the last time that someone or something has made you more furious than a computer? You probably would have a hard time thinking of something that made you more mad than our lovely friend that sits on the desk before us. And why is that? Why do computers suck? I mean, we have been using these things, and manufacturers have been building these things and perfecting these things for decades. They have been around a long time. If we get in a car, if we buy a new car, and if that car behaves the way our computer does, we would take it back and say, look, this thing's a lemon. Sometimes it starts, sometimes it doesn't. Some days it gets up to 60 miles an hour in a few seconds. Other days it seems to take 30 seconds to get to 60 miles an hour. This is a bad car. We would take it back right away. But with computers, we live with this stuff. We live with these inconsistencies. It's really amazing to me. And I talk to person after person after person, and they have stories of how their computer has frustrated them, let them down, or continues to annoy them on a daily basis. They suck for a variety of reasons. They're complicated. They depend on other things, such as the internet and stuff like that. The software. Some software is good, some software isn't. So all these things kind of conspire together to create this environment where we're dependent on these things that constantly let us down. And for that reason, over time, we just go, you know what? It's my computer. I'm going to buy a new one. It's going to suck. My old one sucks. They all suck. So why should I spend the money on one? I'm going to buy a camera. And by the way, our cameras perform much better than our computers. And our cameras have computers in them too. So why do those computers work better than the computer sitting on our desk? My experience has been that cameras are far more dependable. They're more like our cars. You know, and I'm not talking about if you have an old car that's ready to die. I'm talking about a relatively new car that performs as it should. Cameras and cars are fantastic. Computers, not so much. Theory number two. Computers are more utilitarian than cameras. And what I mean by that, when we have our camera in our hand, the whole world is filled with possibilities. You know, we could walk out our door, something magical could happen, and we could capture it in the lens of our camera. And then we could share it with other people. And then suddenly we're famous. Right? I mean, there's always something like that could happen. Or if you travel, you know, and you experience new things, you can record that with your camera and have those images and those feelings with you forever. Cameras are much more magical than computers. Now, you could argue back, well, computers allow us to surf the web, and the whole universe of the web is open to us. Yeah, but you know, that's different. I mean, it really is. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has been working on computers for a long time. I have been to many, many, many web pages. Web work is part of my daily work, and I'm not complaining. It's fine. I'm very happy to have it and stuff. But looking at a great picture on the computer and standing there and taking it are two completely different things, at least for me. And I'd rather be standing there and taking it than looking at one on a flat screen of a computer. Computers where we pay our bills. Computers are where we have to write and answer email, agonizing email. And especially if you have a job that has a ton of email, you know, where people are just constantly throwing things over the wall. Well, I'm just going to send Bob an email on this, and then I don't have to worry about it, at least until Bob responds. And of course, Bob has so many emails that he's not going to be able to respond for a day or so, which means the guy that threw it over the wall gets to chill out and do something else. Email is tied to computers, not to our cameras. So this is a device that we pay our bills on. We have to endure email. We have all sorts of weird things show up on our computer all the time. Spam email, all that kind of stuff. I mean, really, they're not fun. They're work. We have to have them. We depend on them. We need them, but they're not like a camera. Computers are messy. Theory number three. They are. They're just inherently messy. We forget how to do things, or we never really learn how to do things properly. A lot of times, our desktop just becomes this mess of files and things and folders. We don't always know exactly what's in those files or in those folders, but we don't want to throw them away because if we do, it might be something that we really need, but we don't have time to go through them all right now. Stuff gets stashed in corners of our hard drive that we can never retrieve again. And, oh yes, your computer has search, and it always works perfectly, doesn't it? Well, you have to know what you're searching for. I mean, you do. So if you don't know what it's called, then you're going to have a hard time looking for it or discovering it via search. Computers are just messy. The internet component, the filing system, the managing of applications, and Lord knows documents are just a nightmare. It is like a bedroom that you can never get clean. It is like the hall closet that no matter how hard you try to get it straightened up, you turn around 2 weeks later, it's back to where it was before. Computers are those sorts of things. We don't have that problem with our cameras, right? Our cameras aren't messy. We take a picture. We turn the dial. Everything is nice and clean. We have one memory card. It has one thing on it, pictures. Maybe videos, which are nothing more than pictures that move. Cameras are so clean and logical. Computers are messy. They just are. And that's another reason why we don't like them. Computers are not as much fun. We can do some things on computers that are sort of fun, but most of the time we're working, right? Most of the time we're working. In fact, anymore, if I'm doing something fun with a digital device other than a camera, it's probably on my phone. I mean, my phone is what I pull out when I'm sitting on the couch and I want to read some interesting news, or I want to play a game, or maybe want to look at some pictures on Instagram. I'm not using my computer for that. My computer's in the other room. It's full of email and stuff. It's work. No, I'm going to pull out my smartphone when I want to have fun. Or I'm going to grab my camera and go take some pictures. Because computers can do so many different things, and because we end up using them for so many different aspects of our life, they're sort of like, you know what people say, how marriages after a period of time are not as exciting as they were in the beginning. Well, part of that reason why people go through this is because when you're in a marriage, you're also in a business partnership, and you're in a child rearing partnership, and you're in all these partnerships that has all these messy things. So, you know, when you're running a house with another person, you have bills to pay and, you know, things go wrong and there's a division of labor, hopefully, right? And maybe you're not holding up your end, or maybe he or she isn't holding up their end, you know, and over time, all this stuff just sort of wears you down. Whereas in the beginning, when you first met each other, well, the only thing you ever did was fun stuff, right? Everyone was showered when they saw each other. Everyone's hair was clean. No one had like baby stuff on their blouse when you first met. None of that happened, right? So you got to see the best of the other person. But over time, you see the real person, all sides, all facets of that person. And then maybe that causes a little bit of the magic to fade away. That doesn't mean it has to be gone. You can bring it back, and that's a whole different topic, right? Keeping the magic alive in a relationship, that's a whole different topic. However, computers are a little bit like that marriage, like that relationship. We're not just doing fun stuff on them. You know, this is what I've been talking about in the earlier points. We have to do all sorts of stuff on them that we don't want to do also. And we have to fire them up at work and do what our boss tells us to do. And then suddenly we have to answer customer complaints on them. And suddenly we have to, you know, respond to stuff that, you know, we would never want to deal with if we didn't have to. So computers have all that stuff tied to them. Again, going back to our cameras, we don't have to answer email on our camera. We don't have to do stuff that isn't fun on our camera. Almost everything that we do with our cameras is enjoyable. That's why we love photography so much. Suddenly we get to be creative, or we get to try new things, or we get to put a different lens on, or we get to use a filter, or we get to try new settings, or we get to do something that is fun and not work. We don't have our boss communicating through our camera telling us to do something distasteful. Cameras are more fun. Computers, not so much. And theory number 5, if we could live without computers, we probably would, but we would never give up our cameras. And I mean, I understand that this one is, you know, geared toward this audience, and the general population may or may not feel this way. But if this weren't true, then why, and especially in this audience of nimble photographers, why do we spend so much time trying to figure out how to leave our computer behind when we travel and just take our camera and then have some other device be our companion for a camera instead of a computer? It's like we would try almost any wackadoodle oddball thing to keep from bringing our computer with us. And I have people ask me these questions all the time. I just had this question come up on Friday, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, when I was doing the Olympus Superfan event, where people will jump through all these different hoops and try all these different things just so they don't have to bring their computer, which in all honesty would be an easier way to go, a path of least resistance in terms of using your camera and processing your images and sharing them with other people. The computer is probably the easier choice, the laptop, than trying to figure out some little weird device that you put your card into and it pulls off all the images, and then maybe it sends some somewhere, or you can use it as an access point, or all this stuff, and you're never really sure if it's working properly or not. But yet, we're willing to try it. And why are we willing to try all these alternatives? Because no one wants to bring their computer. They don't. They will do anything other than bring their computer. And I think, going back to what I've been saying in the earlier points, in part, computers represent work and a lot of things in life that we just don't like. And if we could live without them, if we could say, you know what, if that computer goes away, so do all these other things that I don't like. Ooh, that's appealing. You never think that about your camera. You want your camera with you. You just want to do the other half of the process, of the digital photography process, you know, without the computer. Here's part of the problem, I think. So some of these things cannot be solved. Some of them can be improved. That's the way I look at it. I mean, we can't solve the problem of having to deal with bosses and email and, you know, all that stuff. That, I mean, unless we become independent or retire or something like that, we're going to be stuck with that, and that's going to be tied to a computer. However, some of the things, such as computers suck, that can be improved a little bit. And I think part of the reasons why we feel like they suck is because we tend to hang on to our computer hardware longer than we should sometimes. So we're adding new software, we're adding new state-of-the-art software to a computer that is 5-6 years old. This software and this computer are probably miles apart, but yet we try to make them work together. So if we kept our hardware a bit more current, probably our experience using it would be a bit better, and then probably we'd be a little bit happier. However, we're in a catch-22 here, because we hate our computer so much. And, you know, when I say we, I mean most of us, not all of us. Some of you listening go, hey, I love my computer. And I know you do, and I'm happy for you. But for the rest of us, the thing that's going on is that because we don't like our computers, we don't want to spend money on them. Right? It's just like, oh, God, okay, I'm going to buy another computer. That means I can't buy a camera this year. Or, gee, that means I can't buy a lens. But if we forced ourselves maybe to keep our hardware a bit more current, maybe to replace that old hard drive with a new SSD drive, you know, maybe to do some of those things and not drag our feet on them, then we would have more fun on our computer. And then maybe we wouldn't hate them so much. And then maybe we would use them more, invest in them more, and just have a more complete, happy digital photography experience from the moment of capture, which we love, to the moment of post-processing, which we like the idea of, because the idea of it is to make our pictures better. Unfortunately, you have to use a computer to do that. But we like the idea of making our pictures better. If we make that part a little bit better, then maybe we'll be a little bit happier. I just bought a new computer, first one I bought in a while, for our Nimble Classroom series, because I felt like I was really stretching it last year with a computer that I was using it, an old computer that I was using longer than I should, and for something that I shouldn't be. I mean, I'm plugging state-of-the-art stuff into it, right, like Camlink and so forth. So I said, you know, I'm not going through that again. I'm going to have a computer that can handle, you know, what I'm doing to it through this online class. But I had to talk myself into it. I mean, really, it took me probably 2 months of talking to myself that I should do this before I actually pulled the trigger and did it. And now that I have it, I like it. It's nice, but I'd rather have a new camera. A review of the Olympus Superfan Weekend in San Francisco. So this past Friday, I spent the day with the Olympus community for something they called a Superfan event, and it was in San Francisco. And I was invited to come down and cover it. And boy, I'm really glad they picked me. This was a fun day. So I got to bring you up to speed a little bit on what's going on here, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff here and something that I think is just good business at the end of the day. So what a superfan is a little different than a visionary. So an Olympus visionary is a professional photographer who uses Olympus gear. And if you want to be a visionary, you have to say, I'm using Olympus exclusively. So they have the visionary program, and I know a number of the visionaries, and they're terrific. They're amazing photographers, and they're, generally speaking, really nice people, too. But then there's this other level of elevated user, and Olympus calls them superfans. So these are people that, generally speaking, have a day job. They're doing something else, and a variety of different things. It's pretty interesting. But then, when they're not working, they are immersed in photography. I mean, these people, at least the ones that I met, they live and breathe photography. and they're good at it. So they're passionate about Olympus gear. They're passionate about photography. And then they're also passionate about spreading the word about both photography and Olympus gear. So a lot of the super fans, you know, they have online presence. They teach classes. They're the head of their user group. They're freelance photographers, probably taking on assignments and doing things like that. They are people that are, you know, posting on Instagram a lot, hashtag Get Olympus. They are people that are attending events. They are people that are participating in contests. I mean, they are really involved and they're passionate about the tools they use and the craft that they embrace. So Olympus has identified a number of these super fans. And when I was at O'Reilly Media, we used to call these folks influencers. I use the term a lot. Basically, people that listen to this podcast fall into this category. So influencers are the people that other people go to for advice about something, in this case, photography. So you listen to this podcast, you do the things that you do, you're passionate about photography, you're skilled at photography. Other people recognize that and they come to you for advice. And that's what the super fans are. These are people that can influence a lot of people, not only inspire them about the craft, but also educate them about the tools. And since they're passionate about Olympus gear and Micro Four Thirds photography, then that's the direction that they're going to be most excited about and probably lead other people. So essentially, then, this becomes a really powerful grassroots sort of movement. And just like if a friend suggests a restaurant to you, you're probably more likely to try that restaurant than you are something that, you know, you have no experience with or no one's recommended. And I think photography definitely falls into that category. So what Olympus wants to do is nurture these super fans, give them more gear to test, give them more information, and get them even more excited about photography, knowing that they will spread the word. And at the same time, these are excellent people to give Olympus, the company, feedback on the tools, because not only are they using them all the time, but they're in contact with a lot of other people who are using them. And so therefore, the ideas that they have and the information that they share about cameras and lenses is very important to Olympus because they want to continue to improve their product. And by listening to their customers, especially customers that really know the products inside and out, then that is a great opportunity for that company as well. What they decided to do, and this was the second superfan event, first one was a test, and it went well, but this is the first one I think that really was, you know, fully baked. They invited these superfans to San Francisco. I think they got them here. I mean, I think they paid for their airfare and stuff, brought them to San Francisco, and then basically engage in 2 days of shooting at various locations, working with different visionaries, working with themselves, having Olympus technical staff present, having Olympus marketing people, even having the PR firm that Olympus works with, have them represented, and just bring all these people together and go do a bunch of stuff with cameras in their hands. And then talk and share and listen the whole time. So I was there for the Friday leg of the show. So I think they started on Thursday night with a dinner, and then it was all day Friday and all day Saturday. So I was there for Friday. And on Friday, we went to the Golden Gate Bridge. And then we went to Muir Woods. We went to Sausalito. And then we took the ferry from Sausalito back to the city. And it was a nice full day of photography. And it was a lot of fun. And my job was to cover this event and to write a story about it. Take some pictures also. I did all of that stuff. So this is a great opportunity for me too. Because a lot of times on these sort of events, I'm the one in charge, and so I have all these other things to worry about. This one, someone else was in charge, and I just got to interact with all the people that I was shooting with, and I got to focus on taking pictures, which I don't get to do when I'm leading a workshop, and just really soak everything in. The other thing that I really liked about it is that I learned stuff. These people, my gosh, they know these cameras inside and out. They know every little shortcut, every little trick, every little everything about these cameras. And so, you know, we would be working on something and they go, oh, yeah, you know what? If you just do this and that and you pull that, you know, manual focus ring back, but and then you can automatically set it to infinity. And I'm going, really? That works? So then it was also a tremendous learning experience for me. And then another aspect of it that I was fascinated by was all the Olympus people and the PR folks. I'll just put them all in kind of one category right now. I know them all. You know, I've worked with them on the press events and all that sort of stuff. And to watch them interact with these enthusiast photographers, I mean, I'm used to seeing them interact with press. And, you know, with press, yeah, you know, you've kind of got to be nice to press in this business because, you know, they're going to turn around and write a story about it. And I guess to some degree, I guess that would be true with a super fan too. That wasn't my sense of their motivation. My sense of their motivation was that they really appreciated these people and they liked them and they enjoyed them and they enjoyed being with them. And they were thankful that these folks, you know, embraced Olympus photography so much. So the whole thing was just amazing. And I have to say that in this day where I'm having a harder time connecting with companies, a lot of times, you know, I can't get one-on-one. I can't get the information that I need. To have this particular company go the other way, where they actually reach out to people in the community and pull them in and ask them what they like and what they don't like, and then treat them well in the process, I just think that that's special. And I really appreciated what Olympus did, and I really admired these super fans. I admired their talent and their passion, and it just got me excited, more excited about photography, and I was just really lucky to be able to be there. Okay, let's take care of just a few bits of business before I sign off here. I did not send out the reservation forms quite yet for the San Francisco Street Photography Workshop. However, that is imminent. And the reason why is that we're still hammering out a couple details. I want to make sure that, you know, everything is looking good, that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And that should happen within the next couple days. And then I'll send out the reservation form. So if you're on the reserve list, I feel pretty confident that you will see a reservation form before the next podcast. And then that'll be your opportunity to sign up. If you're not on the reserve list and you want to be in this first round of the opportunity to sign up, then I would. And get on that. I'd go over to the workshops page right now in the Digital Story and get on the reserve list for the San Francisco workshop. Mike Baining is teaching it with me. I'm very lucky to have him. He is an Olympus visionary. He is one of those people that were there this last weekend. And he's someone that I can tell you a lot of folks admire, and for good reason. You get him and you get me both on this workshop, which I think is, you know, pretty incredible, especially when we limit the workshop to 8 participants, and then Mike and I. And Mike and I talked about some ideas in San Francisco, and then we each did some research. We were, you know, kind of working in different circles a lot of the time, in different places. And it was really lucky for us that the Superfan event was in San Francisco and that Olympus was sending each of us to all these different places so that, you know, we could explore them and then compare notes and then make our final activity list. And I'll tell you, it's going to be a terrific event. It's going to be on April 26, 27, and 28, 2018. It's going to be special. And we're going to have some gear for you to try also, which will be fun. Reservation forms will go out soon. And if this is something that you enjoy, street photography, I would highly recommend this event. have some new signups for Patreon, which always makes me smile, especially when it's a name that I recognize, you know, someone that's been a member of our community for a while, and then they, you know, they make the leap and they become a member of our inner circle as well. And it just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like that, you know, in the way that a lot of these super fans believe in Olympus, that these folks, you know, believe in what we're doing here and have a lot of faith that I'll continue to go the right direction. So thank you for those of you that just signed up, and those that have been supporting me all along, double thank you, right? Because you stuck with me. And if you want to support this effort, it's easy to do. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, Patreon tile. Just click on that. It's very easy to sign up. And then you're also eligible for all the bonuses that are available to our Inner Circle members, including here in just a few days, two more training movies will be available free of charge to those in the Inner Circle. So anyway, big thanks to our Patreon members. Just really appreciate your faith and putting your money where your passion is too. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the folks that make the paper that I use exclusively. See, I could be a Red River Paper visionary, right? That's one area I don't have a hard time committing to. Red River Paper is it for me. And they have a terrific site that has everything from paper to all the related products for inkjet printing, to reviews of the latest printers, to tutorials on how to make the best images possible with your inkjet printer. They're also supporters of this podcast, and I just think they are terrific folks indeed. So they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and you just click on it, goes to our landing page, and then you can explore from there. Get some paper, make some prints, make some art. That's going to do it for me this week. Really invigorating few days, I tell you, lately. The Superfan event was terrific, and then I got to relive it all again, going over the images. And even the computer, working on the computer, didn't bring me down when I was working on those shots. So hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Have a great week until then. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.